Cups, about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? We are back in the saddle, sir, in the pod room. First time in a long time, but also the first time in a little less time, breaking down Manchester United. First Premier League season opener, Brighton of Hove Albion on
Premier
Sunday.
Premier League season.
Let's go. First time together, sir. We're hot banter. We came into the pod with the agenda laughing. Still laughing. I'm not sure I'm going to be laughing about that starting 11. But Erik ten Hag, strong marks across the board. Some of the players proved themselves in the Premier League. Preseason looked pretty good. Strong marks for some of them. Tell you what, that front office, bro. That front office, like, are you telling me that the guy who, like, completely drove this club into the ground for 10 years, you think his number two is not competent? Is that what you're saying? Like, are you saying Ed Woodward's apprentice can't do the job? Who would have called that?
He's looking like Ed Woodward's number two, I'll tell you that much. As far as how this club is looking, and the gotta feel bad for Erik ten Hag and what he has to manage.
Poor bastard.
The preseason game, the Ronaldo drama. I don't even want to talk about it. There's so much just bullshit surrounding this club at the moment. We're kicking off against Brighton Hove and Albion. I'm so pumped to get the season underway because having the Manchester United drama without the football on the pitch, it's just becoming too much. This summer window, you know, Murtaugh, Arnold in Barcelona sweating like we're sweating in the pod right now. Everyone's saying they're playing 4D chess. I'm waiting for the result of it. Look, I think there's going to be some action for United. There's a lot of work to be done for the front office, but how are we not going to be in a position to overpay for anyone we try to buy right now? We need a striker. Ronaldo wants out. If it's Sesko, we're going to overpay for him. If we can't get FDJ and it's Nunez, we're going to overpay for him. When you leave business late, when you telegraph to the world who you want to sign and what positions you want to strengthen, it's impossible to do deals. You need to get the business done early. I've been trusting the process, Here we are. Season's kicking off. We're going to get into the Brighton preview, but man, this summer, even I'm shocked how bad of a job they're doing. It's not over yet. I have to caveat that, but I thought it was going to be bad, but this is comically bad. And as a United fan, does it set us up for this season? The rough window, Ten Hag calling players out the week before we're kicking off. The drama with CR7, everything in between. We're not even talking about Harry Maguire.
I think Magoo might be the last of our
I know. Him as the captain is like not even on the sheet to discuss about because there's so much just... And this is the stuff you don't want to be talking about as a United fan. We want to be getting excited about the youth in the team. Our new manager, by the way, he stepped up to the plate with those comments saying, you shouldn't leave, and I didn't bless it. I absolutely love that from Erik ten Hag. He's the future of our club. Now, it's just going to be a mess in the interim before we get rid of Ronaldo and the players who disrespect Erik ten Hag. It is his ship. He's the captain. I'm excited for that. It's just this process I wish would have happened during the summer instead of now during the season.
I mean, hey, shame on us for expecting any kind of change from the front office when all the change has just been kind of surface level. It's really a continuation of the same regime. That being said, we've got a heavy in the manager position. And he's getting thrown like curveball after curveball. If you're going to use the skiing analogy, it was always a double black diamond coming into Manchester United with his front office, that squad, the balance sheet. But let alone looks like our manager knows how to ski. And he doesn't mind a little rough terrain because he's in for a walloping. It's one thing to just have the transfers, getting ready for the summer. We got like... the Ronaldo nonsense. We got number of players leaving early. We got Dino running his mouth from Nottingham Forest talking about how bad he was treated by Manchester United while he's still, you know,
I'll tell you what, no one cares about that.
No one cares about Dean Henderson. But we care about this season. And you know what? They're always going to leave it late. They have learned nothing, right? Long, drawn-out sagas lets you know that, like, hey, you're going to need to go elsewhere if they don't work out. And we're in a position now where we need a CDM. We need a, probably need another midfielder. Obviously, right back is probably not the first of the list. We need a striker. We needed a striker with Ronaldo. Now we definitely need a striker because you're getting to a point where you want him to leave. Like, I know we talked about this a lot, but, like, Ronaldo is going to be toxic at this club for this season because he doesn't want to be here. And he'll just, like, he'll play under his terms. I tell you what, you mentioned that comment that, look at the first half of the Rio game where he's getting feedback from Erik ten Hag. Like, he does not want to listen to that shit, bro. He's like, has no time for that. He's like, yeah, who are you? Who are you? Get out of my face, bro. We need to get rid of him, and we need to get replacements. And, like, the best you got is a 19-year-old kid, unproven, coming to the Premier League. Like, that is a punt at £55 million. When your rivals are strengthening from Premier League-proven players, Richarlison, Jesus, all under that price, dude. That's just a classic United, right? Buy high, sell low.
Sorry, you beat me to the punch.
Can't even sell Telus, right? Apparently, his wages are getting picked up. But still, you got to be selling players. Like, why? What benefit does it have us to loan it? Yeah, it takes up a spot. We had four left backs before he went on loan. But, dude, the club's out of sorts. Erik ten Hag, we believe in you. This season's a fucking write-off. A write-off. Eighth place.
Okay, sir. I'm excited. You're going. You're ranting.
I'm caging myself. The caveats. It could be as bad as high as fourth.
It is a write-off. We're only 6 minutes in the pod. You're writing off this season. We haven't even gotten into the game. So, like, you know, I think we can beat Brighton.
Of course.
I back the manager. It's not a write-off. I'm gonna clap back. But of all the analogies you heard about this team from this podcast, day late, dollar short.
That's it.
buy high, sell low, FC. I mean, like, wet noodle front office is, like, another one. Like, they can't make a deal. They can't buy someone. They can't sell anybody.
The boys in Barca. That was, like, the best.
Thirsty.
The boys in Barca. Two of them in Barca with their, like, blazers on.
Thirsty for trophies. Hungry for signings. Hans and Franz taking over the pod. It's all happening. We've been saying these things for years, and they continue to be true. But you know what? I'm excited to kick off. I'm excited to have the manager prove what he's got. I think he's got the medal to deal with all of it. He's done a great job. I think the drama around United sucks, but Erik ten Hag, he is the man for the job. Like you said, he's a proper heavy, and I think that is the number one thing we need right now at this club. Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. If you want to support us, we don't have any commercial sponsors on the podcast because we believe in bringing the hot banter against the Glazers and whoever might be supporting them as well. Support us on Patreon. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. You get a behind-the-scenes episode every single month. We just dropped our Patreon podcast for July. We give away shirts, scarves, stickers, you name it. Sign up for Patreon. Support us. Also, check out our Discord channel. We have invites pinned on Twitter and our website. Over 700 Muppets talking about transfers and everything in between. The match day chat's awesome. If you're not familiar with Discord, please check it out. Encourage you to sign up for it. It is an awesome community, probably the best of the American Red Devils. Also, check out our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. Great blog content. And our store, everything you buy, supports a small-time operation. You still have a couple of days left on our code Muppet discount, 15% off all scarves. Please grab one. Glazers out. And our new Munich Air Disaster Memorial scarf are on sale. Please check that out. Everything you buy supports this podcast. I'm sweating. No AC. Tell them about iTunes reviews.
Speaking of supporting us, iTunes reviews or a 5-star review of the American Red Devils podcast, wherever you listen, it's a great way to support the pod. And even better, we're sending out free swag for 5-star reviews. All you have to do, write that 5-star review and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address. And I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear, send it right to your door anywhere in the world. I mean it. We do it. I just sent something to South Africa. So doesn't matter. Wherever you are, write a review. It goes a long way. Speaking of reviews, here's a great one. Fresh off the pressa. 5-star from Stay Digital. Couple of Muppets, but no one is pulling the strings. Love the pod. Love that the pod doesn't have sponsors. Maybe you should get one for a week or two, though, so you can afford air conditioning. Hashtag lasers out. Hashtag McFred till you're dead, because looks like he's right.
That's a new one.
Appreciate the 5 stars. Great way to support the pod, sir. Great segue into the meat of the matter, which is McFred ain't going nowhere.
Okay, who cares about McFred? We are playing Brighton Sunday, August 7th, 6 a.m. Pacific. That's early, sir. I thought it was early. 8 a.m.
Not that early.
6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern, at home, at Old Trafford. Protests will be happening. Shout out to the 1958. If you are in Manchester, please join up with the protests. We got to be putting the pressure on the Glazers. Got to get them out of this club. We want to see results. Little pre-match highlights for this match. Manchester United will be opening a top flight season against Brighton and Hove Albion for the first time in their history. While this is just their second league clash in the month of August after a 3-2 defeat at the Amex in 2018. Hopefully we flip the script coming back home to Old Trafford. And Brighton and Hove Albion have lost their last 7 Premier League games against Manchester United, but did win last time out in May 2022, 4-0. Horrible result. You remember that one? That broke the back of many players. And Manchester United have won their opening Premier League match in 10 of the last 13 seasons, winning 5-1 against Leeds last season. Also remember that Chelsea match where we won big with Dan James scoring. That was an awesome one. Pre-COVID, we were out at the pub celebrating and singing till we lost our voices. Those were the days, sir, beating Chelsea 4-1, the opening match. Having a lot of banter. Lifetime versus Brighton. Games won 19, games drawn 5, games lost 4. First time we ever played them was January 1909. We won 1-0 in the FA Cup. We like to send them back to the South Coast Pack-In. Brighton coming into this match. They've had a few wins. They drew Union Saint-Gilloise. Dude, you're killing me with these teams. They won 4-1 against Estoril Praia. They beat Reading. They lost to Brentford. They beat Espanyol big 5-1. Brighton are a tricky team. They play well. They smacked us 4-0. There's got to be some revenge wanted for that loss from this United side. If they're a proper United side, I don't know. Is there too much drama clouding the squad at the moment? Are they trying to set the record straight? United of old, if they lost big, they'd be thinking of that and wanting to set the record straight. Clearly, let's hope the lads are looking to do that when they come home.
I need to clear up. It's a good point. I need to clear up the write-off. Write-off in the sense that this season should be a write-off for Erik ten Hag. We shouldn't expect immediate results. That being said, we've seen bright spots.
You can't backtrack a write-off.
I'm saying for fans.
Season's wrote off.
We should expect
nothing. You already wrote it off.
We should expect
the first
nothing.
Part of the season.
I've written it off.
First
in my
part of the
mind,
season, you threw
me,
it in the garbage.
Let me clarify what I meant.
So Alex is leaving the pod. I'm getting a new host.
Taking applications now. Send in your CV.
He's trying to write off the write-off right now.
I'm trying to explain what I meant by write-off. I'm saying the fans should consider this season a write-off. They should expect nothing from this season because otherwise, you're going to set yourself up for disappointment. The Muppet and Me, fourth place.
Okay, that's not a write-off.
Piece of silverware.
You just described lowering expectations.
I'm just
a write-off
the
is different.
Should write it off. If I was a
you're
fan.
You're backtracking on the write-off. I'm not letting you do that. You come
are we
out
talking
the
about Brighton? I'm backtracking on what I meant by calling it a write-off. Like, there's a lot of exciting things that we could see this season.
Sir, you're walking backwards really fast. I can't hear you.
All right, this guy, bro. This guy.
I prefer really not to speak. If I speak, I am in big trouble.
In big trouble.
And I don't want to be in big trouble.
Sir, you know what? We've gotten feedback from the pod. Don't want to curse too much. I don't want to tell you how I think you're making me feel in this moment. But all I'm saying is, Brighton, it all starts. There's a lot of exciting
we
things
we know
to
what
get
you're saying. I'm just giving you.
Are you giving me what
I'm
you
just,
get?
I'm just giving
you're
you
back
that,
in the pod.
I'm giving
hot,
you that.
Hot,
I'm back
hot
in the
pants.
Pod. I'm giving you a little 1-2.
It worked.
You know, body
rattled.
Shot going up top. Let's go. You know, the hot banter back in the bunker. A little history on Brighton Hove Albion Football Club, a.k.a. Write-Off FC, commonly referred to as Brighton. Obviously, they play down the South Coast. Great fish and chips if you've ever been down there. Founded in 1901, nicknamed the Seagulls. Obviously, they play down by the sea. And in 1901, when they were founded, voting machines are approved by the U.S. Congress for federal elections. I thought that was interesting. And German chemist Felix Hoffmann patterns aspirin. So, 1901... Sir, it's been a while. 121 years. Brighton's been around for a long time, and they're on the up. They got that nice stadium, the Amex. They've been in the Premier League for a while. We saw them play QPR when they were in the Championship coming up, but they had a strong director of football, and they've earned their keep. In the 16-17 season, Brighton finished second in the Championship, like we referred to, and then were promoted. Situated in East Sussex, Brighton find themselves isolated from most other teams, leaving them without an established local derby. Matches against fellow South Coast outfits Southampton and Portsmouth are occasionally labeled as local derbies, but they don't really have one specifically. They have come to think of Crystal Palace as a big rival. They are close to London. South London's number one, Crystal Palace. You know, if you're ever down there in London, you want to see a Brighton game. It's quite a trip, but we made a trip of it. It was a lot of fun. Also, Crystal Palace, great stadium. We were there in May.
Great stadium. That's what a new stadium looks like in the Premier League. That was the infamous gravy scene, sir. It always oscillates. Was it Watford? Was it Brighton? Gravy would be appropriate for some of the weather they get on the South Coast. Great team. I mean,
no, well, Brighton's recruited. Where you ate nine pies. Is it actually
nine pies?
He has a photo.
I'll tell you, it's the fish story. Like,
he has
two
a photo
pies,
on the wall.
Three
at
pies,
Brighton,
seven pies, nine pies. Yeah. If I could eat nine pies, I would have a future competitive eating, sir.
Nine meat pies and four dark ales in 25 minutes. He has a photo at Brighton. Somebody go take a picture of it. Okay,
so they're well-managed club. They're well-recruited side. This guy, we are hot. The season is back, baby. This pod ain't no write-off. They just sold Cucurella, who we actually did see when they played Ipswich Town in London, sir, if I remember correctly, at left back. He looked probably the best player on the field that day. Do they make good signings? They've got Trossard. They got Danny Welbeck. Castillo was a player that we were attached to last winter. Could have used him. £8 million center back, central midfielder signing.
That's a good point. They have lost Cucurella, you know, the CDM as well, Basuma. And they're playing Danny Welbeck up front. So, I mean, like, they kind of have weakened a little bit across their squad. This has to be a win. I mean, they're coming in like, yeah, they beat us 4-0. That was really hopefully a fluke. Even you look at our squad right now, front three, I'll take McFred. You put in Eriksen, you put in Bruno. You know, that back line a little worried about, but we should be able to dominate the game. Erik ten Hag, he's going to send the boys out. We're going to war, you know. It's like a game of inches. We got to fight. And, you know, I think we have a really good shot kicking the season off, the write-off season, with a win. Checking in with the injury table, Brandon Williams, he is out per undisclosed reasons. This could be because he might be having a transfer completed. We heard rumors that it might be around $10 million. Jadon Sancho, he was sick. Pelestri, he has an ankle injury. He should hopefully be back. Luke Shaw was sick as well. So I'm thinking Sancho and Shaw will be back. Given those injuries, what is your lineup for this game? Alex, season kicks off. We're excited.
Very excited. Cannot wait. Like you said, I think Erik ten Hag's gonna get the boys playing up, and a very Brighton, very beatable Brighton side. So this is who I have as my starting 11 on the opener this Sunday. So De Gea in net, I got Dalot, Martinez, Maguire, and Malacia in that back four. I'm doing Fred as the holder. I'm doing Eriksen and Bruno, double eight, Rashford, Martial, Sancho. If Sancho is unavailable because of injury or sickness, Garnacho. That kid. Absolute future. Cannot wait. Lock that kid down for even further years. Give him more money because he's a player there. Who you got?
I got Dave Saves World number one in net. Now, my little Erik ten Hag, I know the man. I think he's gonna snub all the Portuguese players who left early. For that reason, I think you're going to see AWB in for Dalot because he's laying on the hammer. He don't mess around. He's got to show the players that he rules. The fortress that is Old Trafford. Martinez, Maguire, Shaw. I think he makes it back. Fred McTominay, you're going to see that. Then he's going to start Eriksen in place of Bruno. Now Bruno might come off the bench because I think he's going to kind of let the players know, hey, I'm in charge. Then you got Rashford, Martial, and Sancho. So I'm not saying they won't be involved. I just think there's going to be a little... The comments today, they were sharp, and I think if he's going to set the tone, you're going to see something like this.
Hey, there's not a lot of options, but we got a couple of players, at least for the first squad. And like you said, it'd be very interesting to see if he responds beyond just a strong interview where he condemned it. You don't do that. You don't do that at Manchester United, which is what we need. It's like things have been so loosey-goosey, especially last year. It was so apparent to have like a proper manager who doesn't take no bullshit from nobody. at the start. It's going to take a lot more.
It's more about setting the tone.
But it's setting the tone from the top, right? And especially Ronaldo, senior most player, but like he's a superstar, but you can't, dude, leave it midway of the game. That is cheeky. I've never seen that before.
Sir, when you're the manager or you're Erik ten Hag, he's not worried about setting the tone. He's looking for ways to set the tone. You just open the door,
yeah,
you know?
That's true.
They open the door, he's going to set it. I mean, like, he's not going to give him an inch, and that's the whole point. You got to come in super hard to start. So let's see. I might be mad, but that's what I think. Booking the bookies, Manchester United favorites, minus 170, the draw plus 300, Brighton to win plus 500. Sir, five times your money for Brighton to pip United at home. Not a crazy wager, if you ask me. First-time goal scorer for Manchester United, Cristiano Ronaldo, plus 280 just because of the Muppets. Next up is Martial at plus 430, then Rashford, Bruno, and Jadon Sancho. Garnacho is very close to Sancho at plus 750 compared to the plus 700. Christian Eriksen, plus 950. Interesting, Ronaldo is the most favored goal scorer for Manchester United. I do not think he's going to feature. Might come on in the 70th minute. I think things are souring rapidly with him and Erik ten Hag if, like you said, that video and the interaction and everything in between isn't indication of where we're headed. Given those are the bookies' odds, you got it all, Alex. You got the lineup. It's a write-off. Give me your score prediction.
Too funny. A score prediction, I'm calling 3-1 Manchester United. We always got a goal given up in our locker for sure, but I think Martial gets on the scoreboard, Sancho gets on the scoreboard, and Eriksen comes home with his first free kick of the season. First of many, sir. Can't wait to see what the little Dane comes up with. What you got?
Ooh, I'm going to say 2-0 to Manchester United. I dare predict a clean sheet. I think Martinez is going to do very well. I think we're going to hold. I don't see too many attacking options from Brighton, and I'm just being that Muppet on the side of the couch wanting United to win. If I had to put my mortgage on it, I'd probably say something like 1-1, but my heart tells me United win. Clean sheet, baby. Let's go.
Absolutely. I think we've seen some really promising things in this preseason. This is a beatable side. We have to be, especially at home in the opener. We've got a great track record opening this season, and then it tends to fade in recent memory. But you would think Martial could get a goal, or Sancho, or Rashford, Bruno and Eriksen. So I'm excited. A lot to play for. Expectations are high, but let's go. Season starts with a bang. Can't wait.
All right, let's get into the news. United in the news. All right. Ronaldo. He's cutting class. Leaving early. The cool kids with their backpacks. Cristiano Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes, and Diogo Dalot leave the preseason match early. Initial reports came from the club. He had permission. United sources. He had permission. No big deal. Trying to save Ronaldo. Ten Hag lays the hammer, setting the tone. You're going to see a lot of this from Erik ten Hag. He sees where it's going. He sees the circus that's happening, and he is laying down the law. He says it is unacceptable the players left early, and I hope he hits him even harder. He said, quote, he's talking to Dutch media outlets today. I certainly do not condone this. This is unacceptable for everyone. We are a team, and you have to stay till the end. It's a bad look. There's no way around this one. I am a Cristiano Ronaldo Muppet. I like Ronaldo. I'll tell you, I don't like the way he was talking to Ten Hag. I don't like that attitude with a video that was circling during the water break.
Oof, that was bad.
That's like my kid talks to me like that. You got timeout.
Timeout's not starting.
You know what I'm saying?
Timeout like, means like you like, mean
that
featuring.
Like that's not a good look.
No, it's not good for anybody.
And it's not good that he left, let alone like the cool kids decide, oh, I don't need to be here either. Like, come on, man. It's also amazing that like nobody's telling them not to go.
I know.
Like they're just by themselves, like high school kids, just like, yeah, oh, let's just get out of here. Like that's kind of what it is. Like at the end of that should remind me like playing football. Leading you're just football, like, oh, I think like, we're good here. We're just going to go.
I'm good, bro. Let's get out
like,
of
yeah,
here.
Let's get out of here before Coach tells us to do anything else. Like that's literally like high school stuff.
Yeah. And it's bad. This is what you start to worry. This is why it goes from like, yeah, we should do everything to keep Ronaldo to a bad Ronaldo is bad for everything. All right. And you have Ronaldo kind of affecting the decision making of players that should know better, especially Bruno Fernandes. Dalot, he's young and he's shown that he doesn't always kind of think, because remember when he celebrated it with AC Milan against
us? He's
Donald
a numpty.
Trevor.
Absolute numpty.
Yeah, but Bruno is someone like, I see as low, like a potential captain candidacy. The best signing we've made in a long time, probably since RVP. And I think it just speaks to the fact that, like, Ronaldo don't want to be here, then we can't change that. And we have to get him the fuck out of Dodge. And I know we have a lot of players that we need to buy, but we have shown in previous seasons that keeping around players that don't want to be there is bad for everybody. It's bad for the team. It's bad for morale. It fucking is. It's corrosive to the rest of the environment because it spreads like the plague, dude. It's like DeLore and what's his name? Bruno would not have just left on their own. Like Ronaldo did it. He's like, Ronaldo probably took him with him, bro, to just show his pull that he still runs the show. And this is just speaks to, like, if he's going to go that way and now he's going all the way, which is like, yo, bro, I'm above the club, then you have to just take it on the teeth and move on. And, you know, I don't think, what's his face? Sesko. I don't think he's replacing his goals. But, like, I think you do probably have to move Ronaldo out at this point.
Few things you got to talk about this. First of all, you got like the Ronaldo fanboys and you got the Ronaldo haters. So everything Ronaldo does is horrible and then everything he does is great. And the answer is none of those are correct positions. Like obviously Cristiano Ronaldo, his goal tally for us last year was very significant. He was planning on staying. He wanted to leave late. There's nowhere to sell him. So obviously it's just not a great situation, right? If some club like Chelsea gave us £35 million and he legitimately wants to leave, like it's hard to say no to that, honestly, or like PSG or anything, but there is literally no one that wants him. So if no one wants him, there's a certain point where he has to come back and be like, okay, I don't have a lot of other options, so might as well just like try hard here. I do think he is a professional. I do think it can get there, but the way he's acting right now is he's having a tough time swallowing that L. And that's a salty L.
He really is.
He's got it's on the plate. Him and George Mendes, you know, George Mendes is serving him the L like nobody wants you. I got nowhere for you to go. And he's just not happy. Now, is that translating into him like not really caring what Ten Hag's like yelling at him like he would like any player?
Yeah.
And he's just like, that's not gonna go down well for him because he's Ronaldo and he doesn't want to be there and he doesn't want to eat that L. And so you're seeing that right now. So this situation is going to play out. It doesn't look great. Ten Hag's doing exactly what I want my manager to do. He's calling the shots. He doesn't care if it's Ronaldo. He doesn't care if it's Delo. He doesn't care if it's Bruno Fernandes. Nobody's above him. He's not going to ole Mr. Nice Guy any player, not even CR7. He's going to say, hey, man, you got to run. You don't run, you're on the bench. And that gives me confidence that he is the man for Manchester United and he could deal with this situation. Now, what United is probably doing right now is Ronaldo probably is going to leave. They are not going to get rid of him now because they're using that as cover so they can go out and get a Sesko. So even if Ronaldo is going to leave, it's going to be later in the window so United can do some deals to try to get the replacements in before they ship him. And it probably will be bad for United. You probably need to cancel his contract and let him like literally go play for Atletico for less money or something like this. It's going to happen late, and United are going to do business in the meantime to cover the issue. So it's not like ship him out today with nobody. United need to get the replacement in, then they'll deal Ronaldo. It looks like he's souring. It looks like he is not going to want to stay in any capacity. I thought he would eventually come to his senses. Okay, well, hey, nobody wants me, yeah. So I'm not going to just like shit on Manchester United, like shit in the punch bowl at Manchester United to leave. I didn't think he'd be like that unhappy. I thought he'd just be like, okay, wow, I tried, but like, let's give it a go. Clearly, that's not who he is. That's not what he wants. And he's going to, you know, I have a toddler and he's going to act like a toddler and shake and whine and cry and want to go. And if he's, and then when he goes like this, this is like looking like it. Okay. Yeah. Hey, relax. Okay. You really want to? Okay. Just get out of here. Because he's trying to show that he really doesn't want to be at United. And I guess as the Ronaldo Muppet, I thought that he would eventually come around to wanting to just, hey, let's go. But you have to leave it till the end of the window. There's no need to like micro judge everything he does. If he's at United and he stays, let's see how that goes. Regardless, if he's still on the block, he's just going to act like this. So if he does have to stay, he'll come out with like a lot of PR. It will be like a whole push, him and Ten Hag giving interviews, their best friend. It's all going to depend on
next 3 weeks.
It's musical chairs. And on September 1st, if he's at Manchester United, you're going to see likes, camera action, yep. Eric Ten Hag,
best buddies.
And Ronaldo playing ping pong, hanging out. Like, they're going to be best friends. But until then, he wants out. So he's going to act like a brat. It's the way it goes. It's just business. And you're just going to see a lot of overreaction everywhere you watch or listen to anything related to Manchester United.
No, it's a really great point, and on a number of different fronts. First, most importantly, is that Eric Ten Hag is taking the reins back at Manchester United and reinstituting that age-old fact that is critical to success at this club, is that no player is bigger than Manchester United. And for a long, long time, since Fergie has retired and sailed off into the sunset, lots of players have thought that way, and lots of players have actually been treated that way. So even Ronaldo, the biggest player in the world, the biggest celebrity there is, right? He's not bigger than the club, and that's great to see. And I think you're absolutely right, sir. You're absolutely right on multiple fronts. The cover, why, you know, and it's like it's going to be the whole window. And it's like if he leaves,
so
that's
you're just
one thing.
Get sick of hearing about.
No,
it,
exactly. So it's like we'll get nauseam of talking about it. But until that window, he's going to be fighting tooth and nail to get the hell out of here and go play for a Champions League club. And on when the clock strikes midnight and on September 1st, bro, it's like, let's all make up and be friends because we're still paying you $50 million a year to play football, more than anyone else is willing to pay you, remove of the transfer fee. So let's all play nice because we all, you know, that will be beneficial to all of us in the long run.
All right. On to the next bit of news. Who's going to replace Ronaldo? So, again, I got in a lot of debates with people about this one where I said Sesko was going to replace Ronaldo. That's a horrible idea. It's looking like the only attacking player we're linked to is Sesko, and then Ronaldo is going to leave. So, ipso facto, Sesko is the replacement. We're not being linked with multiple attackers. We could get Depay on a free if he's able to terminate his contract at Barcelona, but, you know, really, Sesko is that number nine, the only one we're being linked to. I heard upwards of £35 million up front, £55 million with milestones, but, like, We were in for Nunes.
I know.
We were in for Nunes for 70. What is that, 80 with milestones?
Guess why?
Why are you
going to
pay $55 million for a kid that is 19 years old, completely unproven, versus like Nunes, which I don't even think he's that proven, but oh my God, like the difference between those two as far as the value.
It's huge.
$30 million, that's like a Glazer dividend. What are we doing? This is just bad business. And the whole point, my view on business is it's overpaying. So you buy Sesko, like, I'm happy he's coming. If we buy him for $50 million, hey, it's a punt. Tony Marshall 2.0, English press today, no chance. Hey, I'm going to root for the kid.
Yeah, of course.
He looks like a unit. Like, I don't know if that's going to transfer into goals in the Premier League. I mean, who knows how that's going to go. But you're overpaying, and it's because you got hoodwinked by Ronaldo halfway through the window. You didn't do enough business. You probably should have already been in for an attacker early, and then you're going to have to overpay. The whole thing is, the way we're doing business is just hashtag Woodward special. The Woodward special is just haunting us. This is the number one Woodward special deal you could do. It's just like a desperate lunge
for
this
an unproven
kid
talent.
Who
is like all fee. He has, there's a potential.
He's not going to be horrible. I mean, like,
there's upside.
It's
but
so we're talking like when you look at this stuff, it's like in the Bundesliga, he played 24 matches last year, 5 goals, 3 assists.
The Austrian Bundesliga.
Yes. The Austrian Bundesliga.
Not even the German Bundesliga.
Yeah, I bet it's 25 appearances, 5 goals, 3 assists.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
55 million.
You know how many goals Nunes scored? A lot more.
Yes.
A lot more than that. And the whole point, the best part of it is our League 2. Hey, La Liga 2, he did all right.
No, but the year before, he played in like
second division.
The second division of the Austrian Bundesliga for where the youth plays. He scored 21 goals, had 6 assists in 29 games. But again, you're paying such a premium for that talent. And if he played 24 games, 12 goals, 5 assists. Like, you're getting to maybe he's the guy. That's very light. Too light, sir.
No,
that's
but
way too light. Just
the
like
big
Warren
argument,
Bronson.
Sir, this is a really smart thing you said, is that, like, you got to get – we talked about this all summer. You got to get your transfers done early because you can usually get it more cheaply. You have to do it quickly. And every signing we've done or tried – the big targets we've gone after, it's just been long, drawn-out sagas where everybody knows you want them. Everybody knows you're in for them. So – they drive the price up. And that player, the most hilarious thing is like Manchester United is like, oh, we're not going to prioritize Nunez. Remember we were in for Nunez and Frankie? Like, oh, we're going to prioritize Frankie. Get him in first, and then we'll worry about Nunez. Well, Frankie ain't signed yet. And all, you know, the latest we've heard is that he might be going to Chelsea, which we talk about next, sir. But
No,
you
it's
cannot
a bad
be doing
deal.
One signing at a time and like hitching your horse to one signing that has a complicated situation in the first place, going out to fucking Spain dressed in your suits and shirts, just like looking like buffoons because you came away empty handed, and now maybe you'll get gazumped by the Chelsea Blues, sir. Could be that cruel. But either way, like, you have to be making signings and get it done quickly. And we never have ability to do that because we're always haggling. Dude, haggling, and then paying full price.
We say it every summer. We say it into the void that is this podcast. The positions you need to strengthen, right back, CDM, and a forward, you get them done early, and then you can be opportunistic. You can get another forward. You can get another midfielder because you're not showing your cards. We say it every year. We're leaving it late. We're going to overpay for this kid. And then wait till you see the price of Ruben Neves. Oof, if Jesus, we can't get doubled. Frankie de Jong, 85 mil. And you're going to over...
He was in the 30s in June, dude.
It's now just like, it's a hard... This is not easy work. I'm not going to say running the transfer market for Manchester United is easy. I'm saying that if you do it in this fashion, you're going to have a hard time doing deals every time. And that is what we're doing. Getting into this one, the Frankie de Jong saga, no update. I do believe that he will probably come to United at the end of it. I think that Barcelona is like smoking crack. I think they're out of their goddamn mind.
What are they doing?
They're literally out of their goddamn mind.
They
have to get rid of him. They're just gonna leave this deferred wages negotiation late. They'll get it done. I think the word is he's coming to United. Otherwise, Manchester United front office is the dumbest numpties of all time. And so I'm even holding on that they're not the dumbest numpties of all time, because if they only followed him and they can't get it done and they're just caught like with their pants down in Barcelona, like, that is horrific.
Remember that happened? Like, 2013, sir.
No, I know. It happens a lot to United. It happens a lot to United.
A lot. Over and over again.
And it's because Ed Woodward started with him and is finishing with his fall guy, the number two man. But now Chelsea are sniffing around. I did hear from Spain that Frankie wants United, right? So the word from Spain, which you have to take as Frankie's guys, says, hey, Frankie doesn't want to leave. But if he were going to leave, it's United, because they're getting it from Frankie's agent, who is saying, we don't want to leave, we don't want to leave, we don't want to leave, but he actually does want to leave, but the deferred wages are the issue. I personally think Frankie de Jong will come. I think we'll pay whatever it takes to get him, which, again, is not great. That's not a great negotiating strategy. Barcelona has, like, they're insolvent, and they're going to be putting us over the barrel, which I don't understand, but that is how Murtaugh and Arnold are running it. So I do have faith Frankie will come in. Now you're starting to hear the backup solution, Neves. I think you should have been talking backup a month ago, because at a certain point in a negotiation, you got to say no. Negotiation starts with no. Ruben Neves, I rate him probably a 45 million pound player at max.
Right.
Wolves asking for 70. What are they smoking? We'll probably pay. If Frankie falls through, we'll pay 75 for him, and he is not worth it, but he's a solid player. And we're just desperate for that CDM. So where you could assign two CDMs, if you were a little more proactive earlier in the window, you're going to overpay for one.
Exactly right. Because we knew they were trying to shop him in June. He was talking about 35 to 45 million pounds, depending on the deal that was structured. He was available.
I thought it was January he was available for that amount. Then
it was
now
again
more,
early
yeah.
summer.
Yeah.
Now it's way higher because the window's closer. You know, and it takes them. They have to find a replacement as well. And at this point, dude, he would not have been a bad option. He also wouldn't have been a bad rotational option just to have in the mix, given that you were so thin on midfielders. But now you'll probably pay as much as you would pay for a Ruben Neves, as for a Frankie, for Ruben Neves, if you fucking end up going there because you go empty-handed away from Barcelona. And they're not the same caliber player. Obviously, one plays in the Premier League. Not that Neves would be a bad choice, but he's a bad choice at 75 million pounds.
Yes. I mean, it's the Glazers' money, so whatever. The whole point about us is we're not making any calls, so we're just going to have to deal with what we get. So, you know, I'm just telling everyone who thought there was just going to be a Murtaugh Fletcher revolution. You know, you're seeing that revolution underway. It's not looking too great. So far, they could still surprise us, sir. I'm not going to rule it out. Fabrizio Romano, speaking of doing great job selling players, apparently we're going to pay Sevilla to take Telles off our hands. Now, this is just like, United pays does such bad deals, we have to pay people to split the wages of players.
Apparently, they're picking it up. This broke earlier today, and then Laurie Whitwall, he said that apparently they're paying all the wages. Now we'll see, but even still, like, you have four left backs, you only need two. He's obviously third man out. You're not going to get rid of Shaw right now. You got to be selling players.
Loan deal, no buy. Loan deal, no buy.
Even for $8 million, just like sell a player. $5 million. Just, I think it's better. It's cleaner.
No money down.
These loan deals, dude, they just, it's us kicking the can.
But the Telus deal is one of those where it just didn't work out.
Unfortunately.
Shaw went down. Telus had the chance to own it, didn't own it. Speaking of another player like
that,
Dean Henderson at Nottingham Forest. Fuming at Manchester United, but I believe he's on loan, so Manchester United still own him, so he's talking smack about Manchester. Dean Henderson needs to just shut up and play the game and get, like, if you want to leave and you want to get bought, play well at Nottingham Forest, earn the number one spot, and then someone will buy you. You know, I do agree Woodward brought him back when he shouldn't have, created a controversy for no reason. Dino didn't earn the spot. And then last year was kind of a waste because he should have been on loan getting a fee for this summer. But again, our front office doesn't know what they're doing. So I do agree that he's right to be frustrated. But if he played better, it could have been his spot. That's what he was hyped about post-Sheffield United and never came to fruition. But, you know, I think you just zip it here.
No, it's all good points. I mean, it was mismanaged, but this is Manchester United and we're a poorly managed club. But at the same time, he did have a chance. He had a couple chances and he didn't look that great. You know, he offers more of a physical presence than De Gea does, but I remember one opportunity in particular, we got like absolutely like caught out against Liverpool and just looked like he had no idea what he was doing. His positioning was totally off. So he has a lot of self-confidence. I do think we managed him poorly, but like, you're still a Manchester United fucking academy player. It's a little bit loose-lipped, you know, like you could say something, but this is a little
much. Hey, maybe he's the leaker, right?
He's definitely one of the leakers.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe that's a good reason because he was pissed he was on loan, so he was leaking. Like, it's all kind of coming out. Next thing we have to talk about here, we're talking about the Glazers corner. We're coming into it. So the Manchester United Supporters Trust, they have been negotiating with Manchester United over the fan ownership scheme for a while now. I think it's been over a year since the Super League. They have been cagey on the exact steps in the fan share scheme. And this is one where Manchester United Supporters Trust, they were the initial supporters who are against the Glazers. And then now there's kind of been a fracture in the fan base where Must over time is kind of, you've seen the Glazer protests kind of decline over time. And then now the 1958 is really taking up that baton, which is where us on the podcast, we kind of stand there. Must has kind of been trying to do the deal with the devil, trying to work with the Glazers, right? Because post Super League, the Glazers said they would explore this fan share scheme. Everyone who's tweeting this out, they say the proposal is finalized. It's 99% approved. It's going to be voted by the Supporters Trust on August 9th. The shares that you can purchase as a fan will have the same voting rights as the Glazers, which means the count of votes. So if you buy the shares in the New York Stock Exchange, you get one vote. If you own a Class B share, which is the Glazer share, you get 10. Now, where things get tricky and where I have actually been tweeting at people who are saying, this is a step in the right direction and fans are going to finally own stock. These people, you know, God bless their souls, they don't know nothing about corporate governance. The Glazers shares that they hold, the Class B shares, they are structured in such a way where any Glazer that exists and is still alive and holds one share, they have 120 million of these. If one exists, they own complete control over important matters, including mergers and changes to our governing documents, aka the board. Right, so the board is what controls the club. And those shares basically represent all voting interests in special resolutions, which would be change in control, financing, like new stadium. Anything important, the Glazers decide because their shares are the only ones that have that clause. Now, any fan share scheme would not have that clause because it is structured in such a way where if there's only one share outstanding,
then
that one share controls the entire voting interest of the board in a change of control event of Manchester United, and Glazers can't give that up. So while they can give fans more votes, those votes won't matter in a change of control or any important, quote, important matters. And this is coming from the S1 from Manchester United. So while you might get more votes, those votes don't matter on any critical points.
Right.
And so when I said to, you know, a bunch of people are talking about this and they're saying a step in the right direction, I'm like, so literally the fans are going to pay the Glazers money. They're going to get votes that don't count for anything at any control at the board level, change of control, where Manchester United is sold to next, critical financing, bringing in a new partner, changing the structure of the board. You'll have zero say in that. And then the Glazers get positive PR. So you give them
money.
You're literally going to give them money.
Don't buy
them. We're going to get nothing in return, and they're going to get positive PR. And the Manchester United Supporter Trust that was strongly opposed the Glazer takeover originally, they're the ones making the deal. And I have to break with them, and the 1958 have broken with them, that this is a bad deal. It misrepresents to fans, because all fans, we want to be a fan shareholder. But we want to be a fan shareholder in a way where our voice is heard. Maybe in a board seat. Maybe there's a threshold where if we own X percent of shares, X percent of the vote, we have someone on the board. And that's if it's an 11-person board, we could break the vote on a new stadium deal. We could break the vote if we're going to sell to a dictator we don't like. That's not what we're getting. That's not what we're building towards. This is literally optics. I haven't seen the exact plan. It's not public. There's a lot of rumblings about it, and it's great, and this and that. Yeah, they're going to give you 10 votes, but you're not going to get that vote on important matters, and you can read it in the S1 document. So everyone, be careful of the positive spin out there from the Glazers. They ain't giving up nothing.
You know who they are. You know how they are. It's all about PR. They would never give up control. Everything they talked about, whether it was when they bought the team originally back in the day or after the Super League fiasco, they haven't lived up to any of it, bro. They're not investing in the stadium. They like rolled out a new banner and like, we replaced this banner. They're not investing in the stadium. It's all about PR. They never answer questions directly from the fans, just owning up to their lack of investment, the amount of money they pulled out, the dividends, how they've driven this club basically into the ground financially. And the last thing you do is basically accept their latest PR spin, because that's what they're still doing. You know, the reason Darren Fletcher has the position he does, Arnold, Murtaugh, it's PR. It's just keep the Glazers fat, dumb, and happy. And the last thing you do, please do not buy these Class B shares.
They're not going to be Class B shares. They're just going to be a special fan share.
Fan share.
But again, this is a publicly traded company. We have to wait until the docs are filed. We have to wait until this class of share is issued. We have to wait until Musk gives the full report. But I am telling you that I know how things work, and you ain't getting that Class B share unless your last name is Glazer. Now, in fairness, Andy Green at Anders Red, after when I showed him that from the S1, I said that this clause prevents any major decisions being made by the fans, no matter how many shares they own. He said, I tend to disagree because in reality, we are so far off the conventional special resolution block level, which is 34%, that it's irrelevant. So he's basically saying that we'll never reach 34% ownership in the club, so it's irrelevant. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, it's a $3 billion valuation, $2.4 billion valuation on Enterprise. There's a billion fans around the world. That's a dollar every fan you get there. So I do agree, but that's also thinking on the small scale. So like, we don't want to own shares that can vote on any important things, because we'll never get there. Well, then what's the point of starting on that road?
Exactly.
And I said, what's the point of building ownership as a fan base where you never have a say in the most critical decisions of the club? All this does is give the Glazers free money and a PR win. Ownership's a disaster.
Yeah.
So look, I'm just trying to set the facts straight. Again, you know my background. This is where I'll write an article. I'll tweet about it, but don't buy the positive spin on this one. The jury is completely out, and the fact they're already people are saying this is a step in the right direction. It's like, give me a break.
Look at the timing of this as well. Nightmare transfer window, bro. There are no accidents in this game. They know exactly what
they're
doing.
They're trying to get money for the fans. They're going to fleece us for more money for nothing.
Like, that's all it is. It's crazy. It's just another way to basically hide a stock issuance and acting like it's a big deal in the veil of a fan ownership scheme. So at the end of the day, you know who the Glazer family are about. They don't give a shit about this club. They don't give a shit about the fans. Do not give them any more money. And it's Glazers out. Now and forever, until the day they leave, this club will suffer as long as they are the owners. They are,
but it's
undeserving of
the
right.
Fan base is fractured on this issue, where like you have the legacy Musk guys. I don't know
it's
why they're doing this.
It's complicated
for
the layman, sir. We're not all former bankers, you know. So it's like, but at the end of the day, and they want to think that they have a voice, even though they're being sold.
No, it's just they're trying to. It's almost like you get so far down a year plus, you're just trying to get a deal done.
Something,
you know, exactly.
Something.
Look, let's get into fan questions here. At Rolling in the Deep, 1995, quote, time to host the Seagulls. Do you think we can start off the season with a bang? Who is scoring our first goal of the season, Alex?
So I do think we'll start off with a bang. I'm very optimistic that we can get a result with a relatively fit squad at the moment. We haven't had a big injury pile up. 3-0, like I said, I think Martial scores the first goal of the season. I'm hopeful he can have a nice productive year. Maybe get mid-teens in the Premier League if he stays fit. We'll see. But a lot to be hopeful about.
Marcus Rashford is going to score the first goal of the season.
Love it. Let's go.
At Mike United Mets, Fantasy Premier League this year? And if so, who is the first player you have to put on the Fantasy Premier League team from Manchester United?
Sir, we got to do fantasy. And I put Sancho on because given his price, he's cheap. And I think he looked really good in preseason. I think he will look good under Erik ten Hag and his style of play. And for that price, bro, $6.5 million, like that's a deal in my book. What you got? Who you got, sir? Who's on your fantasy team?
Sancho's a great answer. Eriksen as well.
I have him as well.
Maybe Malasia too. You know, just see how that you could get a Malasia like week 8 if he
starts starting.
Yeah, exactly. At D_Cole18, honestly, I think we're going to struggle to be in the top half of the table this season with the amount of stamina the Erik ten Hag system requires. We're going to start losing bodies, and we don't have the replacements. So much for the club backing a manager with the winning mentality and system. We've wasted CR7. That is a point we don't discuss.
That's a great point.
The toll playing the high-intensity press takes on a team that hasn't done it year in, year out.
You saw
that at Leeds where they started out hot and they broke down, and we're thin. Great point here.
It's a really good point because we could start off with a flyer, and you know even the Glazers might pull off the gas of any signings they were going to do in desperation, be like, we'll be fine. But it is a fucking marathon of a season. You have to go to the desert when it's still not cool and play a World Cup, which is super competitive and physical. So I totally agree. We could start really hot, even through some tough opponents, and get a decent result. But it's like the longevity. You need to have a deep squad to be able to win the type of stuff we're trying to win.
I mean, we have some great fans. At Beeps, UNF Pod, quote, boys, how do we get some positive spin on the podcast? LOL, at least we get some football back this weekend. We may not have enough warm bodies to fill the team, but at least the season starts. I mean, positive, let's get a win. Let's go. Let's get a win. Let's get some transfers done. That's all we need. We need red meat. We're the plebeians. We're thirsty for signings. We're hungry for trophies. You feed us, we're happy. That's how it goes.
It's right, but you know what? There is plenty to be optimistic about, removed of whatever transfers this numpty front office gets down. We have a proper manager at the helm who's been given what seems like free reign, and that's what we need right now. It's going to take a while, but there are stars in this team, and also the academy. This crop of lads between Garnacho, Garner, he's a little bit ahead, but Hannibal, there are players there. And if you do it the right way with the right balance, we still need more additions. But there's a lot to get excited about. Long road ahead, but, dude, it starts with a single step.
Last question here, a good one. At AB_man99, quote, what do you, sirs, think is to – who do you think the sirs – I'm bottling this one.
Thought I had dyslexia.
Well, it's written wrong, and I'm trying to fix it in my mind while I'm reading it. Who do you think is to blame for the state of the transfer window so far? The manager's inflexibility or the front office's ineptitude?
Dude, it's got to be. I mean, it's never just one thing, but it's got to be. The front office has to be an overarching support, right? They should be there ready to get deals done because I'm sure they knew who he wanted, and certain signings could have been done early because a lot of depth is needed. So it's got to be front office, because look at other clubs in the window in the Premier League who needed fewer players than we did. Like, we needed way more bodies, and they've only gotten three in. So we're still down to three.
Front office.
Front office all day.
100% front office. You look at our roster. You look at all the players leaving on a free. You look how we didn't replace them earlier. The front office has been around for a long time. They're the ones to be managing the club over the long term. They're the ones to be looking at the contracts. They're the ones to be looking where we should strengthen. Their job is not to go ask the manager. A portion of their job is to ask the manager who he wants, but their job is to deliver a squad that is on budget and performs above expectations within the scope the manager sets. But the idea that they're just going to go do his bidding, that is wrong. So even in the way that Erik ten Hag is inflexible, if they're doing their job right, it don't matter.
Right.
Sir, that's it. That's the podcast. We're back, baby.
Let's
if you like the American Red Devils, we're for fans by fans. Please support the podcast. Like, subscribe, comment wherever you listen to the podcast. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils, our website, AmericaRedDevils.com. Click on store, code Muppet. It's good until we kick off against Brighton. You get 15% off all scarves. Everything you buy supports us. Also, write a review wherever you listen, sir. Give us our top 10 downloads the last 7 days.
Pick up the new scarf. I think it's the best one. John designs the scarves. Kudos to him. Best scarf we've done. Dude, tribute 1958, of course, the Munich air disaster. It is special, sir. I really like it. Check it out. Speaking of checking out, American Red Devils, appreciate all the top downloads. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Washington, D.C., Brooklyn, New York, Englewood, California, Reno, Nevada, Houston, Texas, Indianola, Iowa, Greer, South Carolina, Halliburton, Canada, Phoenixville, P.A., and last but not least, Nairobi, Kenya. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We cannot do it without you. Big game ahead. Cannot wait. Let's go, boys. Manchester United is back on the menu.
We're going to leave you with hashtag Glazers out.